present the news quiz with your chairman, Simon Hockley.
Hello and welcome again to the news quiz. We start with a clipping from the Bath Chronicle Classifieds, read by Brian Perkins.
Church pew, pine, 9 foot 6 inches long, God condition.
Thanks to Mike Holmes from Bath for sending that in. Let's meet the teams now. Will you welcome first on my right, Francis Ween and Andy Hamilton. And on my left, Alan Corran and Jeremy Hardy. Francis, why, after 32 years, was it so hard to say goodbye?
I think this is President Suharto. For years, we've been propping him up, sending him lots of nice weapons and things with which to oppress people and shoot people, and now they've started fighting back. So, because we always like to back a winner, we've decided to change sides and say he's got to go. It wasn't really of much interest to the papers until they discovered that there might be one or two British people on holiday in Indonesia. Suddenly it went on the front pages. One British person injured in Indonesian riots, in a small print, 3,000 Indonesians killed, see page 7.
Officially he's retired, though, isn't he? I was wondering what present dictators get when they retire. Do they get a golden lamppost or something? And he's appointed his godson, hasn't he? So he's there in spirit. BJ Habibi, who sounds a bit like a sort of 60s blues artist.
President Suharto's attempt to calm the nation in a televised address bombed badly, unlike the Hawk fighter jets we've been supplying him for years, which bombed the East Timorese people brilliantly. During his time in power, President Suharto is said to have amassed a personal fortune of 70 million rupees, now worth the equivalent of almost $3 US. 2 points to Francis. Andy, who are no longer the political masters of all the surveyed?
Here's one at Suharto in the question. I mean, for goodness sake.
This is an even more notorious figure. It's Mandelson. You must have seen this survey.
Is it this survey about who's popular and who isn't? Is it that one?
Yes.
Surprise, surprise, Peter Mandelson is deeply unpopular. And he's going to obviously try and do something about that now by commandeering column after column of newsprint. Why I Should Be Popular by Peter Mandelson. And Mo Molem's doing very well because she's been very brave in Northern Ireland. And who was the other one? Someone else. Lord Irving, stuck-up Ponce. I mean, I'm paraphrasing now, obviously. And there was one more, Robin Cook, who I have to say, I always liked Robin Cook in opposition, but I have to say that since he's got into power, there's a slightly pompous side of him come out. He starts talking about my people at the Foreign Office and things like that, and his rating is -7 now or something. They're not down at sort of Mrs. Thatcher levels, because you have to murder people to be down there. And
Jack Straw is alarmingly popular as well, isn't he? I don't know, I'm surprised, because I always think he's a bit weird and creepy and sort of runs screaming if anyone touches his windscreen.
According to an opinion poll conducted by ICM and The Guardian, Robin Cook has become so unpopular, Tony Blair is considering sending in a group of mercenaries to get rid of him. Jeremy, who is swimming against the currency?
What, the European currency? Hay didn't like it. And he said that it was all old men and it was all an attempt to end the Second World War, which he thought was a bad idea because the war generated a lot of employment and and spirit and British pluckiness. He spoke in French, didn't he?
That's no.
Right. No, he didn't.
No.
Didn't he? I thought he did.
It was his 18th relaunch, the Conservative Party, in the last year. And he decided to go to France to do it. And then insulted his audience and said they were all a lot of ghastly foreigners and we didn't want anything to do with them. And came back and had a fight with Michael Heseltine. It was wonderful. You see Haig's comments about Heseltine. When Heseltine made a speech, Haig said he's a washed-up has-been. And Heseltine then says, oh, well, he's a never-will-be. And so they relaunched the party and so they go on to victory, I believe. That's how they're doing it.
In a surrealist phrase, he described monetary union as the economic equivalent of being trapped in a burning building with no exits. By the same token, Mr. Haig himself is the political equivalent of a pile of oily rags in the corner. Alan, a piece of music for you.
Straight down the middle, It went straight down the middle. Then it started to hook just a wee bit. And that's when my caddy lost sight of it. That little white pellet has never been found to this day. But it went straight down the middle.
Alan, who was on par for an American Eagle?
I think it was Clinton and Blair. Blair asked Clinton how he got so popular, and Clinton pulled out his favourite club. Brought the roses to Cherie's cheeks, I can tell you. Number 7 iron, a bit of a kink. He uses it for the dog leg fifth, you know. He taught Blair how to play golf and said he's a natural.
We haven't done balls, shafts or holes yet.
No, I haven't.
Give it time. Give it time. Are we going to do the story about the confiscated beer glass? Because
no.
You see that, I don't know if you saw that he had a drink at a pub, just him, Mr. Blair and Mr. Clinton's 403 bodyguards. And apparently at the end, the bodyguard came in and took away Clinton's beer glass because they didn't want to leave the president's fingerprints behind. Now, if they're going to do that, I mean, they'll have to confiscate the breasts of every woman in America. But it led to all these bizarre theories as to, you know, what it is they fear about it, whether they think that someone will steal a little bit of tissue and grow their own Clinton in a... in a genetics laboratory somewhere, you know.
No, they're just afraid he might be fingered for 400 Building Society raids in Leicestershire.
The scores at the end of round one are, everybody, 4 points. Francis, which right royal theft turned out to have been an Italian job?
Oh, is this Prince Charles?
Yes.
Who lost? Well, he's lost a number of things over the years, but he's lost some sort of jewellery, and it was a cat burglar, not the one who's just gone to prison here. It's another one called Casiraghi, or
Rimini.
Di Matteo, or one of these things.
Rimini,
who has admitted that he nicked all Prince Charles' jewellery, and I think Sophia Loren's, and
No, that is the other bloke.
I thought the Italian person broke in St. James's Palace.
Yes.
When a hang glider happened to spring the alarm. What are the chances of that happening? He said he only did it to keep his hand in. You're a semi-retired burglar walking past, and then miraculously a hang glider crashes into the palace, setting off the alarm. He says, "Well, there's a bit of luck." And he breaks it. I don't know why he was from Rhodesia, but he was. And he ran in there, Zimbabwe. And, of course, it was Rhodesia, and this is the 60s now.
I thought for a wonderful moment then, when Jeremy did that burglar, I thought he was going to do some of his impressions. I was really looking forward to that. But,
he stole a scarf pin, and I've never seen Charles in a scarf. It meant,
well, it's because it's stolen. He can't wear it.
You can't lose them, eh?
There aren't scarf pins, are there?
No.
He stole Geoffrey Howe's
like
trousers.
Like a towel rivet.
Well, I think you've all got it right, so let's move on. Small-time cat burglar Renato Rinino this week revealed the location of jewellery belonging to Prince Charles, which he had stolen from St. James's Palace 4 years ago. It's not the first time the prince's family jewels have ended up in the wrong place. Andy, which multi-billionaire got tangled up in his own World Wide Web?
Is it Bill Gates, is it? Yeah. He's got this big dispute going on with the American government about... this is a computers question. I know nothing about computers. Apparently he makes computers with sort of sash windows in or something. And he's selling computers and they've got to have these sash windows because with double glazing and stuff. And apparently some other lot, they don't want his windows in their computers because actually... they think that it's confusing for people, so they don't want to... Anyway, the US government is saying if he's going to have these windows, he's got to let other people put their windows in. So in no time at all, I mean, you're not going to be able to use your computer because you're going to need the window cleaner at it all the time.
Has it ever struck you, Brian, how far Bill Gates has come since he used to produce workers' playtime?
I've got Microsoft software, and you have to agree to this leasing thing where you don't own it. He's merely letting you use it once you've shelled out for it. I mean, if you mess up anything, rather than, you know, a little nudging, comforting, Apple Macs are quite sort of kind, hippie computers. They say, OK, dude, you screwed up, that's OK. but Microsoft, if you mess something up, you make a mistake, suddenly it's like, and sliding doors open behind you, and there's dry ice and Darth Vader comes in.
You have destroyed your backup file. You poor fool, your puny typing is no match for me.
Jeremy?
Yeah?
Was that Jack Hawkins? It was out of spooky. It was like he was there.
Campaigners have welcomed the lawsuit, saying that the World Wide Web had made images of perversion and immorality available in everyone's home on the family computer instead of on Channel 4, where it ought to be. Jeremy, your piece of music.
All your money can lure a man away from home. And I was one of many boys who set off on his own. Oil money, a million jobs in the oil trade. $1 million waiting to be made.
Oh, line dancing, eh? Jeremy, which troubled waters have discovered oil?
I don't know, but I just whispered to Alan, who's that singing? And he said, it sounds like one of your impressions. they found oil in the Falklands. Well, there had to be, because we had a war there. So it was inevitable that at some stage they would find an important mineral resource. But they're having to send lots of Scottish people to mine it, or whatever you do, weave it, whatever you do. Because they're all sort of inbred retards on the Falklands, and they wouldn't be able to do whatever you have to do. We don't go out on the World Service, do we?
If you find any penguins under your car, look very carefully.
A dead penguin's head in your bed.
Oil is to be dredged up from one of 12 rigs already licensed in the South Atlantic. It will be loaded into barrels, placed on ships, which will then sail away from the Falklands, at which point they'll all be sunk by the British Navy.
It's a very funny story. When the servicemen first went out to the islands after the war, they were chastised by the officers for calling the locals Bennies. Do you remember this? Benny was the very thick guy in Crossroads, and so a memo went round saying, under no circumstances are servicemen to call the local islanders Bennies anymore. So they changed to calling them Stills, and when they were questioned why, they said, because they're still Bennies.
Alan, whose plot has been complicated by feuding siblings?
This'll be a plot of Earth, won't it?
It will.
This'll be two brothers fighting over it. No, it'll be... Oh, it says Sinatra down there.
Yes.
Well, it's Nancy and Tina on one side, and all the other children are on the other, and there's the other Nancy.
Nancy Reagan?
No. The one he married. He's got two Nancys in his life, like a lot of American pop stars. But there's one... He was married to one, and then the other one was a daughter, the one in the boots that walked up and down in the 60s and just grown old since.
They had different funerals, didn't they? They had two different do's, or three. They had one for the first marriage, one for the last marriage, and then some of his other friends had a different one where they wanted to set the coffin in concrete and throw it into the harbour.
Well, which one?
Which one was Frank at, then?
So 2 points there, and the scores at the end of round two are, everybody, 8 points. And we start round three with an item spotted by Jackie Parker in the Macclesfield Express Advertiser.
A serial cracker, this one. Garden shed unused, reason for sale, husband won't erect.
Thanks for that. Francis, who brewed up a storm in a coffee cup?
Jammy ones. They have the jammy ones. This is, but Bill Clinton had a cup of coffee with Tony Blair, and his security guard came along, grabbed it, and smashed it so they wouldn't get his fingerprints. No, what is it? Oh, it's Gazza. Paul Gascoigne went out, bought a kebab and a cup of coffee, and he's in danger of losing his place in the England squad for.
They don't know. Give it to Alan.
If
you drink too much coffee, it stops you getting breast cancer.
We have the three strikes and you're out rule here, Francis.
It's an extremely unfortunate girl with a Welsh name. We've lost the Falkland Islands. You might as well lose South Wales. Got a name like Rannan.
Yes.
And she works for one of those councils with a lot of L's in it. Or Gwent. No, it's one of the Gwent ones. And they took her on and she had to make 56 cups of coffee.
Well, more than that, actually.
It was 100 and something cups.
No, it was 3,360
cups. You're clever
cups
now.
Of coffee. 18-year-old Rhiannon Duffy resigned her New Deal job as a secretary for Tredegar Council in South Wales, saying she previously worked at a local coffee bar but had left there as they kept forcing her to type letters and answer the phone. Andy, your piece of music.
I got a lady doctor. She got a paintball free. I got a lady doctor. Oh, there ain't nothing wrong with me.
Andy, which doctor won't need time to recover from an unexpected sex change?
This was in the newspapers, was it?
Yes.
Mr. Allen knows. Give it to Allen.
They know.
They don't know. Look at them. They look humiliated.
It's
Francis is crying. Look. Give it to Alan.
Hang on a second. On, eh? I'm going to invoke the three clues and then we're out, rule.
Well, OK. Doctor, time and sex change.
That's the question. That's not a clue.
No.
No, but I've selected
well, you've
the
given
words
them the three clues and they're out. It's Doctor
Is it a medical
who?
Doctor? Is it a
Doctor
medical
who?
Doctor
Who in the TARDIS. Dana International is about to play Doctor Who as a result of a European...
Oh, is this the BBC saying they're going to do a film of... They made a feature film of Doctor Who. They did. It was on last year. It was all sort of underlit and spooky and moody. And at no point did the female assistant run away from anyone and trip over and go, ah! And they didn't.
How
do
often did you see this film, Andy? Eh?
And there were no Daleks in it as well. There were no Daleks. And they can't have the Daleks in this one, I don't think. I just suspect they might have trouble because the man who created the Daleks is very hot on his copyright.
But where is he going to use them next? I mean, what is the point having copyrights on Daleks if Doctor Who doesn't use them?
Be a sitcom.
Right. Daleks behaving badly.
Yeah.
I think they're actually Her Majesty's opposition.
What was this Doctor Who film that was that didn't have Daleks in it?
Yeah, it was on... Oh,
Dr. Zhivago, you
know. No! It was on last year, and Julia Roberts' brother, Eric, played the baddie. And Paul McGann played Doctor Who.
Is it too late to get take-up, Jen?
Fans said they were delighted at the prospect of a woman representing their hero at a sci-fi convention, particularly as for most of them, it would be the first chance they'd ever had to meet a woman who was not their mother. Other fans said they were sure a female doctor would be able to tackle any problem single-handed, which is the way they'd be watching the show from now on. Alan, who revealed the bare necessities of campus life?
It's not this male model.
Yes.
There is a male model who sits in an art class and while people draw him, and they'd rather have women. And we've seen a picture of this male model. And we can understand why even the women would rather have women. He's a bit of a scrawny fellow.
He's got a goatee beard, hasn't he?
Everywhere. and he's complained of sex discrimination because they've bunged him out of this art class.
They said it's easier to draw women than men, didn't they?
Well, he said I'm the best model in my area. But that is actually the problem, I think. It's his area that is...
Male nude model George Bond claimed he'd been discriminated against by Northampton University, where female life models were preferred to him. George denied he was an exhibitionist, pointing out he'd stripped fully nude three times on the Jack Doherty show, where he knew nobody would see him. He also refuted claims by the university that he was difficult to work with, saying he'd always been prepared to give an inch wherever necessary. So the scores at the end of round three are Francis and Andy 9, but Jeremy and Alan leaping into the lead with 16. Before we start the final round, here's a piece from the Surrey Advertiser.
Godalming Town Council is organising a traditional Beating the Bounds walk on Rogation Sunday. The procession will be led by choristers together with the church donkey, the Mayor of Godalming.
Thanks to Charles Garland of Godalming for that. Francis, your piece of music.
For me.
Francis, why will a nice cheese roll soon be a thing of the past?
Oh, this is an awfully sad story. It's an annual ritual that's been going on for, I think, a couple of millennia, but since before the Romans invaded. In the Cotswolds, once a year, they roll whole double Gloucester cheeses down a hill. And this has carried on through plague, black death, civil war, the whole thing. And now, this year, it's been banned. The police and the environmental health people and health and safety have noticed that last year, I think 33 people were injured during this. Which, I mean, you know, if you roll cheeses, people will get hurt. It's just a fact of life. But we've survived. Well, I think they want to replace it with some sort of cottage cheese rolling ceremony. Just spread it on the grass and no one gets hurt.
It's a sort of vegetarian alternative to running with the bulls in Pamplona, isn't it?
It's the nanny state again, isn't it? Because it seems to me very sad. This thing's been going on for centuries. I mean, why can't they put safety belts on the cheeses? That would be a nice I think the real problem is that the cheese comes trundling down.
Yeah.
Obviously, you don't want to be at the bottom when a double Gloucester has gathered momentum. But I think the problem is that the thrower, sometimes the worst for drink, decides to roll down after his cheese, shouting, "Look at me, I'm a cheese as well!" And there you hit the people at the bottom and move there with their cameras, you know.
Organisers of the Coopers Hill cheese rolling competition have been forced to cancel this year's event after complaints from the police and the health and safety inspectors. A Countryside Commission spokesman said that along with a threat to ban fox hunting, this was just another towny attack on the rural way of life. Next thing you know, it'll be illegal to marry your sister. Andy, who popped out for her BAFTA award?
Is this possibly this person? She's a game show hostess, and she goes out with the son of that blokey. Oh, what's his name? Used to be Prime Minister.
Yep. Alec Douglas Hume.
That's the one. James Alec Douglas Hume. And she wore a provocative dress, which is apparently all you need to do to get in the papers now. But I've been walking around for days in this thing slashed to the thigh, and I think I was badly advised. But
I'm just wondering what odds you could get at William Hill on this marriage actually going through. There's no chance he'll marry, is there?
I think it'll work because he likes her for her brains and she likes him for his personality. No, that's very unfair.
Well, that was the trouble with his dad and Mrs. Thatcher, as far as I remember. That worked out.
What are you suggesting, Grant?
This woman's rivaling, what's her name? Liz Hurley, isn't she? In the revealing dress stakes. They're now in competition. It's a tit for tat in both cases.
Hey.
What was she doing there anyway? What was she up for? Anything, I suppose.
Jeremy, which matching birds won't be hatching?
Oh, this is a lovely story. Abbotsbury is a swanery in Dorset. And it's visible from Chesil Beach, which is that long geography O-level thing made of shingle. All of Dorset's geography O-level. It's brilliant. It's all there. You've got Lulworth Cove, Durdle Door, Blockfort Mountains, iron and steel production in the Ruhr Valley. It's all there. And there's a swanery. It's a place called Abbotsbury, which is owned by a lady called Lady Abbotsbury or something, who owns Dorset and runs the hunt and everything like that. And two of the swans are gay, which is rather sweet. And they're not sissies, they can break your arm. It's really... No, it's lovely. And they've set up house together and that, and it's very immaculately neat. And they both do a lot of weights and stuff. And, no, it's really nice, I think. It's a lovely story.
Suspicions at Abbotsbury Swanery were aroused when staff noticed the swans showed no interest in the opposite sex but jumped up and down and flapped their wings every time YMCA came on the radio. One of the swans used to waddle on land and go straight to the men's lavatories and spent so much time hanging around there he became known as the toilet duck. Before we reveal the final scores, let's see what cuttings the teams have brought along. Francis.
Simon, this is from Luton Dunstable on Sunday, a Sunday paper catering for the Luton Dunstable area, and it's about widow Hildegard Rowlett, who was sitting on a park bench in Luton when a man exposed himself to her. Hildegard was not particularly shocked for herself, but she said the incident had put her off her tea time sausages.
Andy.
This is sent in by Sheila Little, and it's an excerpt from the trade paper Insurance Today. A young man who returned to his office after a liquid lunch had to deal with a woman whose husband died while they were on holiday. She was claiming the cost of repatriating his remains. The man in the claims department sent off the paperwork. However, it was the wrong paperwork. He sent the lady in question a baggage claim form with the normal request for repair estimations. The bereaved woman insisted in her reply that her husband was beyond repair and that he should definitely be treated as an insurance write-off.
Jeremy.
This is the summer brochure from Stratford-upon-Avon College, which is in Warwickshire, which is why I'm speaking an authentic Warwickshire Shakespearean accent. Fire upon his fire, it is an unweeded garden that grows to seed things rank and grass in nature possessed merely. Now.
That's Benny from Crossroads again.
An authentic Stratford-upon-Avon brogue. Now, these are the courses, the art courses, available for the weekend. Life drawing weekend, portrait painting weekend, and caning for fun.
Alan.
Well, I've got something from the Bournemouth Evening Echo, Simon, which I very much hope isn't a misprint. It says, Miss Alice Loxley, who twice represented Dorset at tennis in the 1980s, was married in Leamington last Thursday to Mr. Peter Whitney Hammond, an old Estonian.
Thank you all. Now let's look at the final scores, which are Francis and Andy 13, but Jeremy and Alan, this week's triumphant winners, with 20 points. And before we leave you, here's a notice seen in the Sussex Village Hall, sent in by Isabel Pagewood of Seaford.
Will ladies please rinse out teapots, then stand upside down in the sink? On no account must hot bottoms be placed on the worktops.
That's all for this week. Till next time, goodbye.
Taking part in the news business speak were Francis Wheen, Andy Hamilton, Jeremy Hardy and Alan Corran. The chairman was Simon Hoggart and the news was read by me, Brian Perkins. The chairman's script was written by Dave Cohen, Tom Jameson with George Poles. The producer was John Rolfe.